morning. Sorry, I'm running just a moment late there. This morning, I just would like to, there's been some question about Leonard and if he's still here or not. He is still here. His original deal had fallen through with the house. I believe he's leaving this Thursday, the 15th. And from what I understand, there is a possible another offer on his house. So we'll just pray that that goes through and that he could get on his way to his retirement. Also, I wanted to mention that the new, if you haven't noticed yet, the new hymnals are in the pews. So I hope you all enjoy them. We will be singing from them today. And I think everybody else can just take a look through the bulletin and see the rest of the announcements that we have. We welcome everyone here today. We hope you enjoy the service. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
We welcome all the children to come up and sing for us this morning.
I'm going home with Jesus in a twinkling of an eye. I'll make my reservations for the mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment, or I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when he calls this church away. I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. I made my reservation for the mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment, or I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when he calls this church away. But I know that I'll be leaving when he calls this church away.
Thank you, and I hope that's exactly the truth. I hope to be going home with Jesus someday, too. Our opening hymn this morning is The Church in the Wildwood, and it's up on the screen.
Thank you.
Let us confess our sins to God together. O holy God, we know we have fallen short. We turn our backs when we could embrace. We remain silent when we could speak. We speak when we could listen. We close the door when we could fling it wide open. We judge when we could seek understanding. We cling when we could give. Forgive us, O God, for being so very human at times, and help us to continue to grow into the people you created us to be. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us personally pray our prayer confession. Friends, we believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven. We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ. Now let us come together and recite the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us take a moment to greet everyone in church this morning.
So I have a couple of additional announcements to make today. This is first, you know, we're using our new hymnals today. During the offertory, we'll be showing a copy of all the dedications that people have put in there, so you get a chance to see that. During the history of Glenshaw Valley, we'll be showing a slideshow about the church. If we don't make it all the way through that, I'll pause it, and after church, you're welcome to watch the rest of the slideshow. The other thing you'll see in the bulletin, something about a moment of memories after the service. We're going to ask people to talk about what their favorite memories of Glenshaw Valley are. So think about that. We'll pass the microphone around. And finally, this being the 15th anniversary of 9/11, let's all observe a moment of silence for all the victims of 9/11.
Good morning. Continuing with that theme, that we have a prayer request today from Jim Eichner. I think he has put into words beautifully what many of us are already thinking, asking for prayers for the families of all who were lost on 9/11, and reminding that they are always and continue to be missed. With that in mind, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for the many, many blessings that you have shown us as people, as a church, as a nation, and as the human race. Yet we continue to come to you and ask for more. We ask for your blessings upon us as we face new challenges. We ask for your blessings and guidance as we try to overcome tragedies and griefs that have haunted us for many years. And we ask that we continue to be able to reflect your love in our interactions and transactions with others. We particularly ask for your blessings on Leonard as he continues to work towards moving and being close to his family. We ask for your blessings on this church as we face yet a new chapter in our long history, and hope that we will continue to find your will and what it is that you need our little church in the valley to do for you. Please help us to meet that goal and guide us as we try to get there. Dear Lord, please understand the needs that each of us has as individuals, those needs that we've kept quiet and haven't raised publicly here. And be with us as we face those troubles. Help us to know that there is always solace in you. Dear Lord, we ask all of these things in your name and in the name of your Son who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Just one little additional note about the hymnals. Some of you have had a chance to go through them, some of you have not. You may have noticed there are no responsive readings in the new hymnals, which is why we don't have a responsive reading today. And we have added a fourth hymn to the service. That will probably not be permanent, but we thought that it was a very good way to familiarize everybody with the hymnals. So for the next few weeks, we will be singing four hymns, just as a way to get you to leaf through those hymnals and see what's out there. And on that note, we are now going to sing hymn number 453, Open Your Ears, O Faithful People.
Good morning. It's so nice to see you all, and I'm sure you all have made your reservation for the mansion in the sky, as I have. Isn't it terrible that someone's come back to Christ and then they're overjealous or jealous, whatever the word is. But the scripture reading today is so important. Today we saw our youth up here singing, and the youth is what makes our church. And without our youth, there will not be a church. So let's all take that into our hearts and into our thoughts and into our decisions when we are looking for our new minister. And Psalms 78, 1 through 7 tells you that. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old. Things that we have heard and known, that our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their children. We will tell to the coming generations the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. He established a decree in Jacob and appointed a new law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach to their children, and the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and raise up and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the words of God, the works of God, and keep his commandments. Romans 15, verses 3 through 4. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. From whatever was written in former days was written for our instructions, so that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. That is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. One note of housekeeping, who's ever in charge of the hymnals, Sammy still doesn't sing and I still sound awful, so if there's some sort of refund for those two back there, that would be great. Today I'm going to give a history of the Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. It was written October 2006, originally by Ernie McFadden Jr., and it was updated this past August by Arlie. I hope you enjoy it as much as I have in reading this. Sit back and relax and enjoy the next 2 hours as we go through the history of the church. I am the Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. That has been my name for 85 years. I am here to tell a story about this building and its congregations. This story is a composite, as related by many of our past members, being told so that our current and future members may preserve my history while moving forward. As my story unfolds, it is immediately apparent that it is impossible to return to the way things used to be. We can honor our past as we do today, but we are only able to build and shape the future. The following account is dedicated to all members of the church, including many who have gone to their heavenly home. Each of us who worships here has in some manner contributed to the ongoing saga that is Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. My home is a beautiful national historic landmark, built nearly 130 years ago. As I recall the events of my life, I am astounded by the changes that have occurred inside and outside. I am saddened as I recall many faces who are missing. However, I am joyful as I view the many new faces that grace my pews. As I reminisce about past years, I am struck by a startling fact. my mission remains the same, to foster Christianity in the valley. But I am a vastly different church from what I was when I was founded. Let me tell you about myself as I prepare to celebrate my 130th birthday. For nearly 130 years, I have withstood the ravages of time and weather, efforts by men and women to close me or redefine my mission. I believe myself to be the quiet little church in the valley, as alternative to the larger churches in the area. For 130 years, I have stood as the symbol of Presbyterianism and a center of worship, firm and proud in my Christian faith. On the glorious Sunday, June 14th, in the year of our Lord, 1887, my cornerstone was laid, and I was dedicated to the service of God as the Glenshaw Presbyterian Church, the following on March 11th. As my large 400-pound bell in the belfry calls the valley to worship, my congregation gathers. For about 20 years, they had gathered at the sickle factory since there was no church for miles around. I am brand spanking new, designed by Thomas Reid in what is called the Queen Anne style and costing $12,000. I am between Butler Plank Road and the Pittsburgh and Western Railroad in the picturesque Pine Creek Valley of Glenshaw. I front on Butler Plank Road, the main road transversing the valley between Pittsburgh and Butler. Across the road at the creek is a hitching post, a convenience for those who travel on horseback. Mounting half a dozen steps to the porch, we enter the sanctuary with its curved pews forming a semicircle facing the altar. Behind the altar are windows of cathedral glass, and a skylight is above the recessed choir pit. At the back of the sanctuary is the narthex, with sliding wooden doors as a divider. Sunday school, dinners, and other activities are held here in the narthex. My ceiling and wainscoting are of yellow pine, oiled and burnished to a rich color. In each of the four corners of the sanctuary is a chimney with a coal stove to provide heat. Leading from the back door is a path to the water well, and further on to the outhouse. My memory is hazy. The records indicate that a new organ was installed in 1907, funded in part by a grant from the Carnegie Fund. My transept was enlarged, and the choir loft was reconfigured at this time to make room for the organ. The choir loft is separated from the altar by a spindled rail. Replacing the skylight are two natural gas candelabrums mounted on newel posts. On the outside of the posts are gates leading from the altar to the loft. The new organ was placed in the choir loft, and an organist was hired at a salary of $5 a month. At the same time, an outdoor worker was hired to pump the organ at a salary of $2 per month, but he often fell asleep and needing prodding when the organ signal was given. I was enlarged in 1912 at the cost of $3,000. A kitchen, now the heritage room and restrooms, and two rooms, now the library and choir rooms, were added to the first floor, and the pastor studies was added to the second floor. At the same time, electric lights, indoor plumbing, and a central heating system were added. My heart sang with joy. I listened to the Sunday services, savored the smell of cooking as dinners were served in the narthex, and saw Christmas plays and other celebrations held around the altar. My congregation grew, and I was, sadly, deemed to be too small and outdated. Property was purchased for a new church in 1926, and in 1928, a new Glenshaw Presbyterian Church was opened, and my doors were closed. For 3 years, my bell was silent, while a portion of my old congregation organized to save me. They worshiped in the Glenshaw School until they could raise the $10,000 needed to purchase me. It was evident that the Lord still had use for me. One day, my doors were reopened and fresh air filled my sanctuary. I was cleaned and polished, and a new charter was granted to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. Just a little more than 85 years ago, on April 15, 1931. By 1939, I had been renovated and redecorated. The stained glass windows were installed, and a new pipe organ was purchased. Through the years, many things have happened to me. I've had amputations, additions, restoration, and transplants. My original hand power organ has been replaced 3 times, and the windows behind the choir have been replaced with organ pipes. The sliding doors separated the narthex were removed, and in their place, twin arches with curtains were added, later changed to the current single arch. Plastering, painting, and paneling have altered my interior. My exterior has been recovered with vinyl siding since the original wood had begun to decay. 3 of my 4 original chimneys have been removed. My front doors have been painted a welcoming bright red and blazed with white crosses. I am now a registered National Historic Landmark, meaning that substantial change to my exterior cannot be made. I am more comfortable in the winter. My individual stoves have given way to central heating powered by coal and later natural gas. A hot water system has replaced the steam boiler. My kitchen is gone, so are the dinners, most celebrations and meetings. They have been held in the Christian Education Building since that building was dedicated on June 4, 1961. My congregation continued to flourish, and Fellowship Hall, later named McFadden Hall, was added to the Christian Education Building and dedicated on October 23, 1977. It is quieter now, but on Sunday mornings, as my bell invites all faiths to church, I am ready and able to serve the Lord as I have in the past. That the Lord still has use for me is evident. He saved me nearly 80 years ago, and more recently, his timely intervention led to the discovery of an uncontrolled fire in my boiler, which could have ended my life at 97 years. And once again, in 2004, as the floodwaters filled my basement, he granted me another opportunity to serve him. Once again, my congregation and community were there to clean and repair as needed, so that I could continue to serve the Lord as I have done for these many years. Today, in the year of our Lord 2016, I am changed physically and physiologically, sorry about that, as time and conditions have warranted. I now share the feelings of my congregation as they are both excited and apprehensive as they begin the new search for a new pastor to serve, lead, grow, and yes, change. This will be a challenging time for me, but I have overcome bigger challenges in my lifetime, and I expect to come through this stronger and revitalized as I have before. Whatever changes may be on the horizon, I am certain that my heart and soul remain unchanged and strong in the convictions of my founding fathers who brought Presbyterianism to the Glenshaw Valley 130 years ago. I am living proof that a small, friendly church has a place in this busy world. I shall continue to serve until the will of the Lord decrees otherwise.
I got to get on the program here, so this is the time of sharing. And this is a time to recollect about interesting things that have happened in the church. So I'll start it off with one thing that I remember. So if you all remember back in the days when Leonard ran the Blessing of the Bikes, there was a service there where he sat there, and during the end of the service, he transformed from Reverend Leonard Pate into a biker. He disrobed in front of us and turned into a biker. So that's one of my favorite memories of Glenshaw Valley. So let me pass the microphone around for anyone else who wants to share. Clara?
Kathy and I had a situation where we were in Bloomfield and our church had to close. And we were down to probably 20 people at best on a Sunday morning. And our pastor retired and our organist retired all on the same day. So it was really a very emotional kind of time for us. It was certainly not one of the best times in our lives. And so we had to come and do what we call church shopping. And I moved out to the North Hills a little bit before Kathy and went to several services. And to be honest, I attended a church, and I won't say what name it is, the Sunday after 9/11 happened. 9/11 happened on a Tuesday morning, and I went to a service on Sunday morning. Never did any pastor or person mention 9/11 in a prayer, in a sermon, nothing. And I was just appalled. I thought, how could you not take that and feel that in your hearts? And so I thought, well, this is not a church for me. So I continued to do some shopping, and Kathy moved out to the North Hills, and we actually were on our way to Glenshaw Presbyterian Church, and Kathy said, no, I'm talking about that one down at the bottom of the hill. And I said, oh, okay. So we came here, sat, and never left. And I really, really do love the people here. I felt very welcomed here. It was much like our old church. And here we are today, trying to serve this church as we did our church in Bloomfield.
Anyone else have a memory to share, or I'll pick someone out?
I don't really think I need a microphone. I've never been told I'm quiet.
Well, going back to the days that probably 90% of the people here don't remember, the Dorcas Society, the couples class, the couples bowling league, the softball leagues, the trips we used to take with the youth group up in Cook's Forest, the scavenger hunts we had down here with the youth group and the young adults, the young adults class that was held up at Bud and Pat's house when it was still the church mansion then. The Vacation Bible School, when we had that, unfortunately I lived close. Those of you who know, I live on halfway up Cleaver Road. We had about a dozen kids up there. Rob and my mother would get the kids together, and we sang Bible school songs all the way down the hill until we got down here. And after Bible school, we sang the song until we walked back up. And nobody thought anything about it. That was back in the days when you went to see your friends, you go to Mike. There was no such thing as cell phones or computers. And the church, this church, had something for everybody, from the youngest kids in the nursery to the people who were, let's say, over 35. We've had two bowling leagues that I can remember. We've had softball teams where every church in the area had their own softball team, and we played against them on our field. All this was like pretty long before the Christian Ed building was ever built. I was born and raised Catholic, but fortunately for me, my father allowed my mother to bring us down here until we were of school age. Once we were of school age, we had to go to Catholic schools, which is another horror story. And I became, had gone through the service, about half of my service time, and there was just something lacking. And the Bible school and the songs that were sung in this sanctuary and the friendship of the people are what brought me back to this church. If I ever need to get depressed or anything, I can always just shut my eyes and I go back to my happy place. My happy place is here. This is where I've always been a member, as far as I'm concerned, and I'll probably be buried out of this church. This is my church from the time I was about 2 years old. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim. Paul, you don't want to say something? You're leaving. Do I have anyone else, a volunteer, who wants to say anything?
I, like Jim and Arlie, are one of the old members of this church. I was pregnant with my first son, and he's going to be 40. And when I came here, so I was shopping, I sat over in that area over there, and Rhoda Gray was the first person. She was the friendliest person I ever met, and everybody was so friendly that day that I stayed. And my church that I went to, I could have stayed there, but it was too far out. But as I raised my kids, I still remember Jim's mother being down in nursery, and my Joe would cry every Sunday. And she would say, push him in the door and close the door, and that's what I would do. Pushed him in the door, and I closed it, and he was fine. And I'm still working with the kids. He was 3 years old the first year. I did Bible school, and he is now going to be 40. So it's 33 years, or 37 years, I've been working with the kids at this church. And I just hope I can continue. I know I'm old, and they think I'm old, but that's all right. I still enjoy working with them.
Anyone else?
Okay. I was brought down to this church by Jim Eitner and his mother whenever I moved up on Maryland Drive back in 1980. And I came down here, and at that time, Jim kept saying, you have a pretty voice. Why don't you join the choir? And I'm like, no, no, no. Then a good deacon at the time, Carol Sheets, got on my case. Because Carol and Chuck both were in the choir. And Carol and Chuck and I became very, very close friends. I ended up in the choir. I ended up teaching Sunday school. And I ended up helping BJ for a while with the Angel Choir. This church has been my sanctuary through a lot of hard times. And I love it, and I'll never leave it. God bless it.
Going once, going twice. I know this church has a lot of special memories for everyone. I think people have a lot of similar stories. I know that I first came here 30 years ago. We went to Fox Chapel Presbyterian, and it was a big church, and we were nobody. We're somebody here. So, God bless this church. So here's our hymn of response. I love to tell the story, 462. As you prepare to leave the sanctuary today, may God strengthen your inner being for every good work. And may the blessings of the God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon you and dwell within you this day and evermore. Go in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.